Amen. Well, I hope that you guys have a Merry Christmas tomorrow and that you guys all, get nice gifts. And, but the best gift that we have is our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who's given us so many gifts. I was talking with Betty this morning when I was coming in. I always like to just quietly pray as I come in. And I was just thinking where this church came from so many years ago. And those that have been around a while, you know where we came from, John Clinton Hittite, him and his wife, when we used to be in the gym.
Over 40 years ago.
Yeah, we were in a public school, we were in the gym, and then how the Lord opened doors to get this church. And just the incredible things along the line. And many of you have come in during that time period and might be a little bit familiar with it, but for us that have been here really since the beginning, it's just an incredible thing to see the hand of God. And we were talking about the Bible studies that we used to have, too, over at the high school, and we started out, there'd be, three or four kids. Brian Wilkerson used to come out, He's here today. And we see now with the Bible release, just how God has continually opened doors. And Scripture,
58 kids came
over? We had 58
over?
Kids a week and a half ago that came out. So, just incredible. Rachel Wydick shared her little testimony from going to Nepal there and did an outstanding job. She really did. So we're always encouraged. We thank God for the multitude of gifts that he's given us. And sometimes he gives us a gift. You ever get a gift you just really don't know what it is until kind of down the road, how it's going to fit in, And if you never heard the story of Bob Cassidy and his socks, you got to hear that story someday. These ugly socks that he picked out. And, just really didn't know. And it ended up one day, he got to minister someone that was going through a very traumatic time. So you just never know how the gift that God gives you is going to fit into the puzzle.
You never know.
And I'm sure on, 17 years ago, nobody really knew God's plan for how his son would fit in to this time period and into humanity. But we thank God he had a plan. Amen?
He did.
So let's pray for Pastor John right now and just ask that God would move and touch us. Father, we give you thanks. We give you praise, Lord, for what you've done. We thank you for your son.
Thank you, Jesus.
And we thank you, Lord, for his commitment to your plan to give of his life so that we could have life, that we could have fellowship.
Thank you,
and
Lord.
We can have one another. Father, we pray right now for Pastor John as he brings forth your word today. Anoint him with your spirit. And Lord, may we be encouraged during this holiday season. We ask it in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
Amen. Hallelujah. That song always touches me. Even though, like Nate was saying, it's not necessarily a Christian song, it speaks to me when I hear that. It always touches me. I want to begin by reading what we call the Christmas story in Matthew, starting in Matthew chapter 1. Starts in verse 18. It says, "This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.'" I saw this movie back a few years ago. It was called Inception. I don't know if any of you saw it. The premise of the movie was they went into people's dreams to change how people would make decisions, to change ways to get things that they wanted done. It was like sort of an underworld kind of a thing. And at the time, I thought it was preposterous, and I was looking at this last night, and I was thinking, they took that's a 2,000-year-old plot, because God sent an angel into Joseph's dream. Think about that. He sent an angel into Joseph's dream to tell him that it was okay to marry Mary, to be married to Mary, that everything was going to be all right, and that he should not divorce her, but that he should stay with her. It's pretty amazing what God can do. He can do anything, can't he? All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means Lord or God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took Mary home as his wife. Then we jump over to the book of Luke in chapter 2, verse 1. And it says, in those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world, which that was all of pretty much all of the known civilization at that time. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria. And everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, in Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living in the fields nearby. I never caught that either before I was thinking about this. They weren't just working out there. They lived in those fields. They must have had some kind of shelter out there, maybe set up a little like a sort of a house type kind of thing. And who knows, maybe they stayed there for the whole season, you know, of the mating of the sheep or whatever it was. But they were living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And then an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. Now, I was thinking about that, the glory of the Lord shone around them. Everywhere I looked in the Old Testament when it said the glory of the Lord came, and it filled the temple. And every time it talked about the glory of the Lord, it was this radiant light. It was smoke. It was clouds. It was fire. It was something dramatic, very, very dramatic. And so here's these shepherds out here where they live in this quiet countryside with their sheep, you know, going on all night and just taking it easy, probably sitting back with a blade of, you know, a big blade of grass, picking their teeth or something, sitting there. All of a sudden, some kind of cloud with fire or some kind of radiant light, smoke comes and it surrounds them. It's like it hides them from the world, and an angel is there and tells them, don't be afraid. Of course, he had to tell them that. I'd be terrified, wouldn't you? It was like aliens just landed on the planet. And in fact, it was an alien in a sense, because it was somebody who was not normally living on this earth. It was an angel. And the angel said to them, be not afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. And then suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared. Now there's all kinds of angels down there with the angel, and they were praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to men on whom His favor rests. And when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, whew, did you see that? They said, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Man, if you were the mom and somebody said that about your baby and it came right from heaven, what would you think? What would you think? You know, if you have your child. And all of a sudden somebody says, he's going to be the Savior of the world. The shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So this is what we call the Christmas story. And you know, this story has been going on, it's been going around the world now for over 2,000 years. And these are facts. This is not just a made-up story. This is a story of what actually happened. And God wanted to make sure that all his people understood exactly, you know, how his son Jesus was going to be coming to earth and what it meant, the meaning of his son coming to earth. So many, you know, when I was a kid, I remember I used to have a little picture Bible. Some of you, I'm sure, had that. So we saw the pictures, you know, in the Bible, and, you know, we saw the manger scenes. We've seen them all over ever since we've been alive pretty much, whether in our home or at a church or out in front. It used to be in front of City Hall sometimes, and some places they still are. We've heard the story, this story in church. You heard it right now, and we've read it in the Bible, and sometimes we even get the story delivered to our home on our Christmas cards. There's a lot that we can learn from this story. And the fact that God became flesh and came down to this earth and walked and lived among us is incredible. It's amazing. It's impossible. It's impossibly wonderful. But it really happened. We can find in this story all types of historical facts, and we can see the different customs of that time and how people handled this amazing event. I mean, the different things that happened. We can see the surprise of the shepherd. We see the involvement of the angels and the miracle of the virgin birth and all these different things, the Holy Spirit's role in the whole plan here. There's a lot to this story that we just read. And of course, there's a lot more that I didn't read. Anytime there's a major event that happens, there's always all these little side stories. You know, this time we saw something from the shepherd's view. You could have seen the story from Mary's or from Joseph's or from, you know, the people that heard it from them. There's so many different ways we could have seen these different stories. There's so much preparation that goes into something as big as an event like this. There's so many people that are involved. Think of all the people that were involved leading up to the time of Jesus. There's so much to do that sometimes we can lose sight of the main purpose, of the main reason for this event. Even today, everybody enjoys Christmas. Christmas is talked about all throughout the world. Maybe not every country, but pretty much most of the world. But does everybody really realize that it was all about the birth of Santa Claus? Oh, no, that's not true. I heard somebody say that, though, that Christmas is about the birth of Santa Claus. Can you believe that? It's about the birth of Jesus. God made sure that the facts were written down so there would be no mistake, that we could always go back to his word and we could never forget this amazing, extraordinary event. Luke 2:11, he said, today, if you remember, I already read this, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. That's the nuts and bolts. That's what we're really talking about here. A Savior has been born to you, and he is Christ the Lord. And just to make sure we didn't miss it also in Matthew, he said, Matthew 1:21, she will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. So this is the main crux of the story. A Savior has been born to us. Whether we know it or not, whether we understand it or not, whether we believe it or not, this is what happened. It's the most important news that anyone could ever receive at any time. It doesn't matter if it was on network news or cable news or Drudge or CNN or USA Today or Wall Street Journal. It doesn't matter if any of them report it. This is the most earth-shaking, groundbreaking news that has ever been reported. If you get it, if you really get it, that God stepped into our world from the spiritual realm, sent his son, born of a virgin, to come into this world to be our Savior. It changed. It literally changed the course of human history. That God came into the world in the flesh. A Savior has been born to you. Right now we hear so much in the news. We just got done hearing about tax cuts. We hear about North Korea. We hear about terrorism. We hear about immigration. We hear about recent elections. We hear about stories about the economy or the finances or celebrities. And think about it. In 50 years, in 100 years, 200 years, what about in 1,000 years? Do you think any of those things will matter at all? Not one little bit. Think about it. In 200 years, no one will even remember or even know you existed. Just a simple 200 years. Dust. Gone. Of course, God will remember you, especially if you're with him. But on this earth, people aren't going to remember us. The seasons come, the seasons go, and the time moves on. Do you remember your great-great-great-great-grandfather or grandmother? Do you even know their name, who they were, where they lived? I know nothing about them. There's only a few things that are so important that they literally stand the test of time and they actually remain important forever. I can think of a few. The creation of the world. That's pretty important. You know, the creation of mankind. That's important. Something we don't like to think of, but the fall of mankind from grace into sin. That's important. The forgiveness of sin that we can get through Jesus Christ. The resurrection of Jesus from the dead and his victory over death. And most important to us, the offer of salvation that brings to us eternal life that comes through Jesus Christ our Savior. That's important. But before this could happen, something else had to happen first, and that was the birth of Jesus. The birth of our Savior. That event, as I said, changed the course of history. Before his birth, in the Old Testament, everything was looking forward. There were all kinds of prophecies, hundreds of prophecies that prophesied about the coming Messiah. Things like the virgin birth, how he was going to die, where he was going to be born, all kinds of things that talked about him. Written down hundreds or even 1,000 years before he was born, pointing up to him. And since his birth, now history sort of looks back to his coming over 20 centuries ago, and we still talk about Jesus today because he's still a reality today. He is real. He is ever present. He is never ending. And always will be. I will never leave you or forsake you. How can you forget about somebody who will never leave you? You can't. Our time was literally changed to B.C., before Christ, and then A.D., which is Latin for in the year of the Lord. And it all started with that little baby in a manger. Jesus Christ, our Savior, is also known as the Prince of Peace. Now, why is that important? There's a good reason for that. Remember what the angel said in Luke 2:14, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom, or to men and women, to whom his favor rests." Not peace to the world, not peace to everyone, but peace to whom his favor rests. This was the beginning of something new that God was doing. This was the beginning of something wonderful. He started a process that would not be finished until the death, burial, and resurrection of his son Jesus. God initiated a plan. It's called the New Covenant, where we would be able to be united with God and to be at peace with God for all eternity. At one time, it says that we were at enmity or at war with God. We could not be in God's presence because God is holy and we were filled with sin. So God came up with a way to take care of our sin. So it couldn't be done without a Savior. And we wouldn't have had a Savior, again, without the birth of Jesus. Jesus was born to be a Savior. That's the reason he came here. Matthew 1:21, you are to give him the name of Jesus. Jesus is the Greek equivalent of the Greek equivalent of the Hebrew name of Joshua. You remember Joshua? Joshua went across and the walls of Jericho fell down. I mean, it's something, there's songs about it. Well, Joshua led the people of Israel into the promised land. And that's where Jesus is now. He's going to bring us into our promised land, which is heaven. He's Emmanuel, God with us, our Lord and Savior. Jesus means Savior. That's what it means. Christ means the anointed one. Jesus Christ was anointed to be our Savior. Acts 4:12, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given for men by which they might be saved. Why do we need a Savior? Because, quite simply, we're not good enough. Whether we see it or not, without a Savior, we are lost. We are hopeless. We're doomed without a Savior. We're drowning in sin without a Savior. We need a Savior. We can't save ourselves, no matter how much good we do, no matter how hard we try. It just doesn't work. There's only one Savior, and his name is Jesus. Thankfully, God doesn't want to see us lost. He doesn't want us to live a hopeless life. He wants us to have a good life. He wants us to have an abundant life, a life of purpose, a life of hope, a life of joy. These are the things that God plans for us. Second Peter 3:9 tells us that God is not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. He sent his Son to save the world. That's his desire. God desires that no one would perish. What did he save us from? A lot of people think that Jesus came to save us from our problems, from our financial difficulties, from suffering and from trouble and sickness and disease. Well, that's sort of what the Jews thought when Jesus was there on the earth during that time. They wanted Jesus to save them from the Roman occupation. They wanted Jesus to be a king that would make Israel mighty and powerful, like during the time of Solomon, that they would be the leaders of the world again. That's not why Jesus came. Jesus didn't come to bring a material or a worldly or a political salvation. He didn't come to save us in our sin. He came to save us from our sin. Big difference. Jesus came here to release us from the bondage of sin. The sin that is so destructive to us, that causes so many problems in our lives, in our world. Every evil in this world is caused by sin. Some people don't want to admit it. Because they don't want to have to deal with it. They don't want to have to deal with God. Or they don't want to have to face Him and realize or come to the, you know, admit that they're a sinner. But the fact is, we're all sinners. Every one of us. We're all sinners, but we have a Savior who can save us from our sin. Jesus has given us the ability, through the power of His Holy Spirit, to overcome sin. To be set free from the bondage. Romans 6:14 tells us that sin shall not be your master. He set us free from that bondage. Jesus said, I came to set the prisoners free, to give sight to the blind, to give hearing to the deaf, to release the chains and set the oppressed and the prisoners free. That's why He came, to save us. We could never do this ourselves. And that's why the message of Christmas is so wonderful. It's so powerful. It's special. It's very, very important. Christmas isn't about presents unless you consider and you see that the present we got is the gift of Jesus Christ. A Savior has been born to you. And He can save you from your sins. When the angels came with their message, in Luke 2:10 and 11, they said, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. That news is for everyone. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He wasn't talking to the parents of baby Jesus. He wasn't talking to just the shepherds. He was talking to all people of all time, to just ordinary people. You don't have to be somebody special. You don't have to be one of the elite or super rich or anything. You could just be a normal guy, a normal girl, and receive salvation from Jesus Christ. John 3:16 said, For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send His Son into to condemn the world, but to save the world. Whoever believes. That's the greatest gift of all time. What gift could ever be greater than the gift of salvation? James 1:17 tells us that every good and perfect gift from above comes down from our Father. What greater gift is there than eternal life? Than a place where Jesus Christ has prepared a place for you, where there'll be no more pain, no more crying, no more suffering, no more tears, only joy beyond belief. Where we will have more than we could ever ask for or imagine. These are the promises of God in His world. But like any good gift, or like any gift, that gift doesn't do any good for somebody who doesn't go pick it up or doesn't receive it, doesn't accept it. And so it is with the gift, this gift, the greatest of all gifts, the gift of God Himself, of Jesus. We have to receive this gift from God. We have to receive Jesus, the gift from God, into our lives, into our heart. It's actually not complicated at all. We ask Jesus Christ to be our Lord and Savior. It doesn't mean we're going to be perfect. It just means we've humbled ourselves before God and asked Him to come into our life. We've received Him as our Savior. Jesus. No other name. There's no other name under heaven by which anyone can be saved. There are people out there who try to point to different ways. There are no different ways. Jesus said anyone tries to come in by any other way is a thief and a liar. There's one way. Heaven was God's idea. Heaven was God's plan. Jesus was God's plan. Eternity is all about God because God is eternal. There is no other way. All these other religions try to come up with their own plans. There's only one who came to die for us, and there's only one who came back from the dead to prove it was right. That's our Jesus, our Savior. A Savior has been born to you, and He is Christ the Lord. This is the real meaning of Christmas. This is the meaning of Christmas. We as Christians have a lot to be thankful for. A lot to be thankful for. We already got the best Christmas gift anyone could ever get, our Savior Jesus. And once He's in our life, the blessings never stop. Like I said, it doesn't mean everything is all hunky-dory, that there's no problems. Of course we still have problems. We still live in this world. But we have hope, that hope that doesn't disappoint according to the Word. We have faith that carries us on. We have a promise of God that was confirmed, as I said, by His resurrection, seen by hundreds of people, written even in history books of that time by a man named Josephus. It's true. It's all true. This is a true story. It's not a Hallmark story. This is a true story, and it's the best story of all. And I'm glad to repeat this story, the story of Jesus, every Christmas and any other time, because it's such a wonderful story, and it's for all of us. A Savior has been born to you. If I could have the prayer team come forward. Hallelujah. Let's close in prayer. Father, we thank You. We thank You so much for the wonderful, wonderful gift that You have given us in Your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior. Lord, we know that it doesn't stop there. You have blessed us in so, so many ways. But we thank You. We thank You most of all for this gift of salvation that came through Jesus. We thank You, Lord God. We want to honor You today. We declare that Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is King. We thank You, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen. Amen. Do we have coffee and donuts today? We have coffee and donuts today. We invite you to, you know, come on upstairs and have a coffee, a donut, bagels. Please stick around. Thank you so much for coming out today. Thank you so much.